What if everything you've been told about happiness is backwards? We're drowning in self-help books, motivational quotes, and wellness apps, all promising the same thing. Lasting happiness is just one technique away. Yet depression rates keep climbing, anxiety disorders are epidemic, and nearly half of us will contemplate ending our lives at some point. Something fundamental isn't working. The truth is unsettling. Our relentless pursuit of happiness is precisely what's making us miserable. This isn't a personal failure. It's a design flaw in how our minds work. We've inherited brains built for survival, not satisfaction. Those ancient threat detection systems that once protected us from predators now generate endless worries about deadlines, relationships, and social media comparisons. Our minds constantly scan for problems, deficiencies, and potential dangers, even when we're objectively safe. This negativity bias made evolutionary sense when saber-toothed tigers lurked nearby, but now it manifests as persistent anxiety about things that will likely never happen. The more desperately we chase positive emotions and try to eliminate negative ones, the deeper we sink into what's called the happiness trap, a vicious cycle where our solutions become our problems. From childhood, we're taught a seductive lie. Uncomfortable emotions are problems that must be solved. Don't cry. Cheer up. Stop worrying. These well-intentioned phrases establish a fundamental belief that we should and can control our internal experiences. This creates the control agenda, a lifelong strategy of managing thoughts and feelings. Feeling anxious? Try to calm down. Feeling sad? Force yourself to cheer up. This seems logical until you realize the mind doesn't work that way. Try this. Don't think about a pink elephant for 30 seconds. What happened? The very attempt to control the thought made it more prominent. The same paradox applies to emotions. The harder you fight anxiety, the more anxious you become. These control strategies fall into two categories: flight, avoiding discomfort through distraction, and fight, suppressing unwanted thoughts. Neither works long term because they make uncomfortable feelings the enemy, creating an exhausting internal war. We tense against anxiety, suppress sadness, distract ourselves from loneliness, creating dirty discomfort, where our resistance adds another layer of suffering to the original feeling. Your mind constantly generates narratives. I'm not good enough. This will never work. Everyone's judging me. These stories become problematic when we fuse with them, treating thoughts as absolute truths rather than mental events. Defusion creates psychological distance, allowing you to see thoughts as mental events, not facts. When fused with "I'm a failure," it feels absolutely true, consuming your identity. Through diffusion, you notice "I'm having the thought that I'm a failure." This subtle shift creates space between you and the thought, reducing its emotional impact. Techniques range from simple to playful, prefixing thoughts with "I'm noticing I'm having the thought that," or singing negative self-judgments to "Happy Birthday." Another approach involves naming recurring patterns. "Ah, there's my not good enough story again." Through practice, diffusion creates a new relationship with thinking where thoughts arise without automatically controlling your behavior or defining who you are. Expansion creates space for difficult feelings rather than resisting them. Start by observing emotions as physical sensations. Where exactly do you feel anxiety? Tightness in your chest? Churning in your stomach? This curious attention engages your observing self, the aspect of consciousness that notices experiences without being consumed by them. As you breathe into these sensations, you create psychological space. The emotion becomes a collection of changing sensations you can accommodate rather than an overwhelming force. Like quicksand, struggling against difficult feelings makes you sink deeper. Expansion allows you to move through them. Instead of labeling anxiety, notice tightness in my chest, shallow breathing, butterflies in my stomach. These sensations, while uncomfortable, are rarely unbearable without resistance. Expansion doesn't eliminate emotions. It transforms your relationship with them, developing emotional flexibility so you can feel anxious and still give a presentation, feel sad and still connect with loved ones, feel uncertain and still move toward what matters. Our minds constantly project us into future worries or past ruminations, disconnecting us from the only moment we can actually live in, right now. Connection means bringing full awareness to your present experience, whether having a conversation, washing dishes, or simply breathing. Your observing self provides this capacity, pure awareness that notices experiences directly, distinct from your thinking self's constant commentary. Simple practices strengthen this attention, taking 10 deep breaths while focusing on the sensations, or noticing 5 things you can see, hear, and feel. A shower becomes an opportunity to notice water on skin, soap smell, water sound. A conversation becomes true listening rather than mentally rehearsing your next words. This doesn't mean ignoring future or past. It means engaging with them from presence rather than distraction, making planning more effective and reflection more insightful. While mindfulness manages difficult thoughts and feelings, values provide direction. Values are ongoing qualities of action, like being loving, courageous, or creative, that give meaning to your choices. Unlike goals you complete and check off, values are continuous compass directions. If your value is being a loving parent, you might set goals like attending soccer games or having weekly dinners. The goals finish, but the value continues guiding you. Values sustain us through hardship. Viktor Frankl, who survived Nazi concentration camps, observed that those maintaining meaning and purpose were more likely to endure. His insight, "He who has a why can bear almost any how," captures how values sustain us through suffering. Identifying values means asking, what kind of person do you want to be? How do you want to treat yourself and others? Once identified, values clarify decisions. When facing difficult choices, ask, which option expresses my values more fully? This doesn't make decisions easy, but it makes them meaningful, aligned with what matters most. Values become real through action. Committed action means taking concrete steps aligned with your values, even when uncomfortable. Create specific, achievable goals. If you value learning, read 30 minutes daily. If you value connection, have meaningful weekly conversations. Make goals alive rather than dead. Focus on what you will do. I'll cook nutritious dinners 3 times weekly rather than what you won't. I won't eat junk food. Taking action brings you face to face with thoughts, feelings, and urges that have historically prevented change. Apply mindfulness to acknowledge these obstacles without being deterred. Willingness is crucial. Opening to discomfort not because you enjoy it, but because you value what lies beyond. Like paying admission to see a desired movie, willingness means accepting the cost of pursuing what matters. The aim isn't constant happiness. It's creating a rich, meaningful life that includes the full range of human experiences. Success becomes about the qualities you bring to each moment, how present, open, and values-connected you are. By releasing the desperate pursuit of happiness, you create conditions for a more fulfilling life. Your life isn't measured by how happy you feel, but by how deeply you engage with what matters most. That's not a trap. That's freedom.